This is a podcast from SPH Radio.
Hello and welcome to The Green Wire, the podcast that plugs you into the latest in green tech trends. I'm Rachel Kelly. By 2030, at least 80% of buildings by floor area in Singapore are targeted to be green, an ambitious goal under the Building and Construction Authority's Green Building Master Plan. And when I say green, I'm not just talking about foliage. Energy efficiency, building materials, smart buildings all play a role here. So what does this mean for property developers? Well, in this episode of The Green Wire, we're joined today by Esther Ahn, and she's the Chief Sustainability Officer at City Developments Limited. And she's going to share with us her thoughts on green tech property trends, as well as her journey on the path to sustainability, which started more than 26 years ago. Esther, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hello, thank you so much for having me. And it is really my honor to speak at the Green Wire. Thank you.
It's our pleasure to have you with us, Esther. I think you're seen as one of the trailblazers when it comes to corporate sustainability here in Singapore. So we look forward to picking your brain today to find out a little bit more about your experience and what's happening in the industry as well. So let's start off, as they say, let's go back to the very beginning and talk about how it all started for you, because you've been working in sustainability for close to 3 decades. Mm-hmm. And maybe you can share with us, how did the journey begin for you, Esther?
Well, it is a very exciting journey, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I look back now, I really valued the opportunity that I chanced upon, that a mutual business associate introduced me to Mr. Kwek Ling Chu, the late Deputy Chairman of City Developments Limited in 1994. Mm-hmm. So we had an informal interview and followed by a formal interview. It was during the interview that he asked me, as a layman, as a non-property industry person, what was my view about the industry. So it all started with this fresh and honest sharing as a building user, as a homeowner, as a layman. So I share with him that I think, you know, the building industry and construction industry can do better and should, you know, minimize the negative impact on the environment and on the people. Mm-hmm. When they construct and build and manage property. So with that, I actually got the job and also got the mission to change the perception about the building and construction practices in CDL. And so we started with the ethos of conserving as we construct.
Right.
These 4 words actually have kept me busy and going deeper and deeper into the sustainability journey, you know, over the past over 2 decades. Yeah.
And you say conserving as you construct, Esther. And while many of us may be familiar with sustainability and some of the sustainability and green trends from the past year on the back of COVID-19, it's really become a buzzword in the last 12, 15, 18 months. But we're talking 26 years ago. So what was it like in the early days before sustainability became such a hot issue? I'm sure there were challenges that you had to overcome.
Yeah, certainly. Today, when you talk about sustainability, you know, global warming, climate mm-hmm. action, climate change, nobody will ask you what are these, you know, mm-hmm. words, you know. But, okay, fast track back to 1995, of course, nobody really know, you know, even for myself, I wouldn't, you know, have expected that climate change become the buzzwords today. And the level of awareness about even going green was very, very low. And mm-hmm. Without, you know, the right level of awareness, you definitely cannot expect adoption or action. And mind you that people's mindset and old habits die hard. So in the property industry or building industry especially, contractors are used to a certain way of doing things. So when we walked in and set up the so-called the environment, health and safety, policy, standard, framework, and green, you know, pushing for green building and all that, it was really, really new to all these value chain suppliers and all. But we persevere, and fast track to today, most of our suppliers are also ISO, you know, environmental mm-hmm. management certified, and they have actually experience and benefits from the best practices. So it is a really long journey, and making progressive change over time, and engage, educate, and empower them with knowledge, technologies, and know-how. That's how we change the whole industry, raise it to the next level, and building green, conserving the environment, and also the people.
How have initiatives, you mentioned a number of programs there, how have initiatives such as Green Mark certification schemes driven sustainability in the sector?
Yes. Along the value chain, we all know that regulators, policymakers are key drivers for change. If it is by law, all industry players will have to, you know, comply. And when BCA launched the Green Mark in 2005, it was a voluntary certification standard. But in 2007, BCA has made the certification level mandatory. And Green Mark has four levels. Apart from the mandatory certification level, you have gold, gold plus, and platinum level. So that marked a milestone, you know, to green the built environment in Singapore. Policymaker can really give the first push to action. And you will follow, it will follow by businesses, financiers, investors, media, and even most importantly, consumers are all in the position to adopt change and drive change. And fast track to today, the SG Green Plan 2030 has been launched recently. And we have seen five ministries working together to, you know, drive new policies and fast track climate actions. And I think as a developer committed to green building for, you know, so long, CDL has also made a very bold pledge to support the World Green Building Council's net zero goal. And gone are the day that we just talk about green building or just Green Mark certification level. Mm-hmm. We are all working towards a net zero future by 2030.
You're listening to The Green Wire with me, Rachel Kelly, and today we're speaking with Esther An, Chief Sustainability Officer at City Developments Limited, about green tech in the property sector.
So let's rewind a little bit, Esther, and let's talk about the evolution of green buildings, because this is The Green Wire, after all, and CDL has been adopting technology-based solutions in residential, commercial, and retail developments. And looking at the site, the range is really wide from, we're talking about automatic dimming of car park lighting to City Nexus. What are some of the key trends that you see on the sustainability front when it comes to retail and commercial property and looking at sustainability tech?
Definitely climate risks are business risks. And actually, risk adaptation is the way forward, not just about mitigation. So when you talk about adaptation, you have to look at, you know, new technologies, new solutions, and, you know, to raise the performance of buildings and also the comfort and, you know, the productivities for users and all that. So for CDL, we really truly believe in innovation. And in fact, we have adopted the materiality study since 2014. And in 2017, interestingly, innovation was identified by both our internal and external stakeholders as the top material ESG issues. And that make a really, you know, affirmation that, you know, innovation is the way forward. So we actually immediately set up an enterprise innovation committee to dedicate efforts and to scout for technologies, to look at application. And last year, we even set up a green building technology application team within my sustainability portfolio to drive sustainable and green building technology. Let's put it this way, without technology, without, you know, solutions, we can't move the needle to green the whole environment and all that. Especially when you talk about indoor space, research showed that people spend 90% of their time indoor, whether it is the workspace, entertainment space, home, or even, you know, hotel stay and all that. So how you building user use the, you know, spaces can make a huge difference on the environment. So for commercial property, where a lot of, you know, business executives spend a lot of time, hours in commercial working spaces, we put in a lot of efforts to make it productive, safe, especially last year, indoor air quality, especially the common touch points like lift lobbies and buttons and all that. Mm-hmm. So if you come to our Republic Plaza, you may bump into our robot in action on the IAQ, the indoor air quality, and also sanitize the common area. So City Nexus, that, yeah, you rightly pointed it out, it's actually a digital platform. First designed for our tenants to, like, for example, order food, you know, and collect them, book meeting facility or extension or air conditions and all that. But it actually has expanded a lot to even help to enable tenants to even recall their lifts, so that
you
minimize waiting time in the lift lobby, and you don't even need to touch the lift button because you have already input in your phone that which floor you want to go to, whether you want to go to the lobby or to Power Club. So when the door opens, you enter and the door will close and bring you to the floor you want. So these are the new digital platform that really help to give not just comfort, but also efficiency and peace of mind for users, especially after we reopen most of our workspaces and people are getting ready to go back to all these buildings.
And Esther, you made a really important point there as well about us spending about 90% of our time indoor. And I think many of us have felt that over the course of the last year as a result of lockdowns, and many of us have spent time indoors and at home and shifting to residential. For many, the COVID-19 has really rekindled that need for green spaces at home, you know, as it becomes a place where we live, work, and play. But when we talk about green homes, we're not just talking about aesthetics, are we? Because I was looking at some of the smart home systems that CDL also integrates into their developments, a number of smart home features, such as timing lighting, as you mentioned, to be more energy efficient. But when people are looking to buy properties, is this something that they really look for now? Is it still location, location, location?
This is a very, very good question. You know, having built home for almost like 60 years now, CDL has actually learned a lot over the years. And we also have to put in efforts to, you know, anticipate change and offer innovative, good features to attract home buyers. Because we all know that people's preference and needs change over time. So, but one thing remains constant from my own observation is greenery, whether it is the landscape or even water features and all that, always give the peace of mind to people, especially during last year, the lockdown. We spent a lot of time at home.
Yeah.
If we don't have, you know, all these so-called, you know, greenery, social and healthy spaces and facilities, for people to calm their mind, it is very hard for us to survive, you know, and really, you know, go through this difficult time last year. And now our home space is also a workspace, social space. So we are spending a lot more time at home. And in the early day, like treehouse condominium, we have like we set up the tallest, you know, green wall. And apart from providing aesthetic and also greenery, it also helped shield 48 units behind to cool the interior up to about 3 degrees Celsius. So it actually helps residents to reduce the reliance on air condition. And this is really helping, giving comfort, aesthetic, and help residents to save energy and expenses as well for utility. And fast track to today, the more latest development like Amber Park, we dedicated 64% of the site area for landscaping and social and health facilities. And, you know, you have a gym that it is on the 22nd floor overlooking to the East Coast, the sea. And so these are the facilities that I think people are yearning for, especially for, you know, for a healthy lifestyle. And we also help to enable our home users to, of course, manage the energy usage. You have to empower them and provide them with digital gadgets that they can actually not just monitor, but also to switch on and off and control it remotely.
And moving on from property, Esther, you also, I mean, you wear many, many hats. And one of those is that you're also on the GRI board of directors. What are some of the key challenges you often see for corporates when it comes to sustainability reporting? And what words of wisdom can you share in this area?
Well, if I may share that we set ourselves three deliverables that it is actually, you know, underpinning our ESG strategy. The 3D that, you know, to help people to understand and remember clearly is the first one is decarbonization. The second D is digitalization, including innovation. The last one is disclosure. And this 3D, you know, deliverables have actually, you know, pick up from our humble experience over the last 14 years of sustainability reporting. And disclosure, I would say that it is actually very fundamental to achieve the other two deliverables on decarbonization and digitization. because what gets measured gets money. If you don't know what you are, what status are you, what sort of gap are you, and you don't even know how to, you know, identify gap to for improvement, and how are you going to communicate with investors and in a transparent and quantitative way. So in fact, from our own experience in reporting and tracking performance and all that, it actually helps us to drive, you know, the search and application of technology and digitization, like what I say, because mm-hmm. now the whole world is in the race to net zero and everyone have to work towards a low carbon future. And probably in the longer term, it's a net zero, you know, carbon future.
So Esther, lastly, let's look forward now. We've spoken about the past year and it has been an unprecedented year. If there's one good thing that's come out of the pandemic, it's heightened the focus on the need to tackle climate change. But what are some of the key trends that you see going forward? And what will you be looking for in the year ahead?
I would call 2020 as the year that has awakened a sleeping giant.
That's a beautiful way to put it. Yes. A sleeping green giant.
A sleeping giant, you know, sustainability is that little giant that has been really going very slowly, steadily, but surely over the last decade or even more than a decade. Last year, 2020, have woken up this giant that, and you can see that everybody is talking about sustainability now. And ESG adoption, investing, and sustainable finance have gained such tremendous and unprecedented momentum in 1 year as compared to the slow growth over the last decade. So we have really reached a tipping point, and this will not be reversible to the old normal, because the world has actually learned that the health of our planet, people, and the economy is interdependent and interconnected. Climate risks are actually business, investment, and social risks. And responsible business is actually a resilient and sustainable business. So I would say that 2020 really have woken up and accelerated the momentum, you know, of sustainability. This is the decade of decisive climate action. By 2030, every company should at least establish your strategy or achieve, you know, net zero. And this is actually the voice of our leading investors in the world, that the largest, you know, asset managers or the top, you know, sustainability rating and ranking research firms all are pointing to the same direction, that companies are expected to step up on their ESG game. Otherwise, they are going to suffer, you know, the cost of inaction, because all these investors are going to screen you out if they feel that you don't really have a ESG strategy in place to future-proof your business. Yeah, so I think ESG is for here to stay for the long haul.
Thank you. Well, Esther, thank you so much for sharing all of your insights with us. It's been absolutely wonderful speaking with you, and grateful for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, and all the best to Greenwire.
Thank you, Esther.
That was Esther Ahn, Chief Sustainability Officer at City Developments Limited. You've been listening to The Green Wire with me, Rachel Kelly.
The Green Wire is a production of SPH Radio. It's hosted and produced by Rachel Kelly from Money FM 89.3. You can also find us on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcast, and streaming on Google Home. And if you have feedback for us, send it to sphradio@sph.com.sg.